and welcome to another episode of Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak, and I'm going to be with you for the entire hour. I hope you can stick around because we've got a great show for you. I am on location in Virginia doing the show remotely today. So as a result, I don't have access to my special bell. Now, if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you realize that on these very important days, solemnities and feasts, I ring a bell to commemorate this special event. Today is a solemnity, the highest. Oh, wait a minute. There's my bell. Dave
Hey,
Parker.
Good morning, Gary. And good morning, Frank.
You are the man.
Man, thank you.
It's good to know you guys are holding down the fort and manning the bell for me.
I know. At least it didn't have a big rope and I had to pull on it. You know?
There you go.
He was so excited to ring that bell. Yeah, he was holding that ready to go.
I know. You know, Frank,
sure was. Okay.
Frank Elias and Dave Parker back in the studio. Frank, whenever you give Dave a job, you know it's going to be done right. I mean, that's the thing about Dave, right? So
exactly. Wait a minute.
I texted Dave before the show, and I said, Dave, can you get the bell ready? And I can imagine, Dave, you were ready with the bell. So today is a really special day. Today we celebrate the ascension. I'm going to have more thoughts on that in a few minutes. The ascension of our Lord when he ascended into heaven. I'll read the gospel from today's Mass. Now, here's something interesting. We are going to start with a prayer, but just to share with you guys, most dioceses have transferred the ascension to Sunday. Now, where I'm at in Virginia right now, the solemnity has been transferred to Sunday. There are only a few dioceses that are still celebrating the ascension on Thursday. Of course, today, of course, Philadelphia is one of them. That means today is a holy day of obligation. What that means is if you are able, meaning if you can get out of the house, if you're not sick, if you're not caring for somebody who is sick, we're bound to go to Mass today. And the reason the church does this is because God knows, it's not like the church is trying to restrict us, take away our fun. Holy days of obligation and Sundays exist because the church or the Lord knows through his church that we're going to forget about him. And this is one way that the church, the Lord through his church, helps us to remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we didn't have this sense of obligation, we would come up with a lot of excuses to forget about him and to say, well, you know what, I can't go to Mass today. So that's why we have holy days of obligation, because these are very, very special days. So make sure you get to Mass, again, if you are physically able. If you're not physically able, you're not bound to do something you can't do. So let's start with prayer, then I'll share some more thoughts about the ascension. And then I'm going to have a message for Frank as Director of Operations. I want to congratulate him for something. So, Frank, I'm going to be talking to you in a minute right after the prayer.
He's scared.
He's smiling, but he's smiling, too.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for giving us the gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, who lived among us, who died for us, who rose from the dead, and who one day ascended into heaven to be with you, and to there after doing that, to send us the Holy Spirit so that he would remain with us always. Father, give us the strength to deal with whatever we will face today. Help us to be lights shining in the darkness, and speak through us on the radio program today so that we may proclaim your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Gary Zimak. I am in Virginia doing the show remote. Now, Frank Elias and Dave Parker are back in the studio. We've got some great guests on the show today. Speaker and author Marge Fenelon, she's been with us several times in the past. She will be here to share her thoughts on how prayer is like riding a bike. This is something based on a blog post that she wrote for the National Catholic Register. Marge is going to be here to talk about that. And Kate Wicker, author and speaker, will also be here. She is the author of the book Getting Past Perfect. Her message is a powerful one. And Kate, in fact, was just on EWTN TV last week on the program At Home with Jim and Joy. Her message is, for moms out there, you don't have to be perfect. This is just such a great message and one that needs to be heard. All right, so before I share some thoughts about the Ascension and read the Gospel, I want to talk to our Director of Operations, Mr. Frank Eliason. Frank, I have to say, you did something very brilliant, and I'm very grateful for it. You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Don't sound so shocked. I
mean, as I'm staring at what my work is going to be today.
Oh, okay. Anyway, here's what you did. You purchased these wonderful headsets that we use for remote broadcast. And one of the big problems that I have when I use traditional headsets, there's a microphone coming out of them, is that I can't drink my coffee when I'm doing the broadcast. But the microphones on these headsets are nice because they bend back so I can drink my coffee. So there you go, Frank. Good job. Thank you.
They were nice headsets. They were one of those things. Our original batch were, weren't quite as good, but they were part of a little package. And I went searching for what I thought would be the best ones, good microphones, and be able to make it where we could do these remotes very easily.
Yeah.
And I will agree that those are really good. But I should, while we're chatting about operational type stuff, I will forewarn people we're going to make some changes if all goes well today. I don't necessarily know I will get it all done today. So at some point our streaming will go down, but hopefully only for a few moments. And not during your show, Gary, but at some point we're going to be moving to an upgraded computer for that. We're also going to upgrade our computer it's actually going to be merged into one computer, but the computer that handles all our archive programs on the internet.
So
that should speed up downloading of those programs if all goes as planned. Over the course of the next few days, this is the plan I have, and so we're going to be doing some stuff to make it hopefully better for our listening audience. Now, it's not going to change fully how those archive programs work, but after this stage, then the next stage will be actually making that even easier and better experience. So there's going to be pieces to that that I'll do over time. But those are some upgrades that we're actually going to be doing. Just picked up the computer yesterday, so it's getting ready to be installed and make those changes. So,
hey, Gear, we're standing on the shoulders of a giant,
I know, man.
Icon and giant here.
No, it's kind of, things are forced. It's only because the computer that does the one.
Take credit, Frank.
We actually choose not to upgrade things like this too often, but the one computer that does the streaming twice in the past 2 weeks has actually said something like thermal event and shut down.
Whoa, that doesn't sound good.
It didn't sound good. So we got a new computer.
The smoke was emanating from it.
I don't like terms like thermal events.
No, that doesn't sound good at all.
And so we elected that, it might be time to buy a new computer. And because we bought a new computer, it allows us some new functionality. So we'll take advantage of that as well. But some work that's going to be done over the next few days.
Hey, Gear, real
Frank,
quickly.
It's pretty funny. Can I just say one thing to Frank? I worked in software for 30 years prior to becoming an evangelist and a radio host. Kind of a funny career change, but the point is, I get it. I mean, generally, and it's funny, I shouldn't think this way, but you generally don't want to mess with something that's working. Upgrades have always scared me. So you're pretty much forced. You wait till the point where you're forced to do it, and then that's your choice to upgrade, right?
Exactly. And the problem was that it didn't happen. It's just the way the computers were structured, especially for streaming, is they would automatically restart so people wouldn't really lose. So if something happened and it went down, well, in both those incidences, it didn't restart for whatever is going on in its internals. So, that creates a bad experience. We want people to have good experiences when they're listening. And so, that's why we would make these decisions at this time. So,
right.
But a lot of this stuff is also figuring it out as we go along.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you're the man for the job, Frank. And by the way, I wasn't aware that we're trying to give people a good experience when they're listening. I'm going to change the way I do things on this program now that I know that.
Step it up there, Zimak. Come on.
Yeah. All right, Parker, you had something to say.
I have one more thing to add, though. Yes. Robin just texted me, and she just thinks you're hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Robin. That's great. Whenever Robin texts about me, it's always a good thing. So thank you, Robin. I appreciate that.
Well, Gary, I was going to say real quickly, back to the other technological marvel, those fancy headsets that you have.
Yes.
They're really great for the remotes. And, I mean, when it comes to food, you know, I like food and stuff, and I can really
relate to that. Not know that, Dave.
Yeah, really. But, it's good. Maybe we'll get an automated arm next set.
Well, people will be amazed, though. Like, we can actually get into a remote and actually be fully set up and running and connected all in about 10 minutes, if that, even less than
that,
if you really think about it. And Gary, you know, because you've been doing it when you're out and about. And, you know, it's all due to this equipment that we have. It makes it so easy. And it's one of the reasons I wanted headsets as opposed to trying to set up microphones and headphones and everything else. Mm-hmm. You have one set of plugs, plug it in and go.
Mm-hmm. And it avoids the tripping possibility when we
have
all
right, not
spaghetti wire.
Hey, you're giving away trade secrets there, Mr. Parker. We've been known to trip.
That's part of our entertainment package when we do this live.
That's right. We often are funny even though we're not trying to be, right? That's who we are. Hey, before we run out of time, let me get to this gospel. It's a big one today. For the ascension, we look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." Now, I have some quick thoughts before we go to break from Pope Francis about the ascension. But guys, when I'm hearing the words of the Lord, if I was there, if I'm one of the disciples on the mountain, I'm saying, whoa, wait a minute, you're going to be with us. Why are you leaving then? Why are you ascending into heaven? I mean, that's the obvious thought. But here's what Pope Francis says about this. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, the ascension doesn't point to the absence of Jesus, but tells us that he's alive in our midst in a new way. Number one, he's no longer in a specific place in the world as he was before the ascension. He's everywhere now. He's now in the lordship of God, present in every space and time, close to each one of us." Pope Francis states, "In our life, we are never alone. We have this advocate who awaits us, who defends us." And he emphasizes again, "We are never alone. The crucified and risen Lord guides us." This is pretty interesting. This is what Father Jeff Kirby was talking about on Monday's show with us. Even though Jesus is ascending, he ascended to his Father in heaven, but he did that so that he could send the Holy Spirit to be present with us, to live in us, to guide the church for all time. It's a great gift. When we come back, Marge Fenelon will be here to talk about how prayer is just like riding a bike. Stay with us.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 25th. Today we celebrate Saint Bede the Venerable. Bede is one of the few saints honored as such, even during his lifetime. His writings were filled with such faith and learning that even while he was still alive, a church council ordered them to be read publicly in the churches. Born in England around 672, he showed his scholarly skills from an early age. He became well-versed in philosophy, astronomy, arithmetic, grammar, church history, the lives of the saints, and especially Holy Scripture. From the time of his ordination to the priesthood at 30 until his death, he was occupied with learning, writing, and teaching. In addition to the many books that he copied, he wrote 45 of his own, 30 of them devoted to commentary on the Bible. Although eagerly sought by popes, kings, and other people of power, Bede managed to remain in his own monastery till his death. Only once did he leave for a few months in order to teach in the school of the Archbishop of York. Bede died in 735, reciting his favorite prayer, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as in the beginning, so now, and forever." There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. Waves they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. For a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. Giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was the voice of truth by Casting Crowns. One of the things you need to remember is that you will hear many voices as you go through your life. You've got to learn to listen to that voice of truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is active in all of our lives. He's with us, and he gives us the truth. You listen to Jesus, it will go much better for you. It is 7:20 right now on Spirit in the Morning. We are joined now by speaker and author Marge Fenelon. You can find her online at margefenelon.com. She has she's written a recent blog post for the National Catholic Register about how prayer is similar to riding a bike. Now, I have to say it was touch and go. I wasn't sure if Marge was going to be able to join us because her daughter-in-law was in the process. She was in labor, and I want to check with Marge. Good morning, Marge, first of all. Do we have any baby news?
We have baby news. We have a brand new baby girl born about, well, we're on Central Time, so about 2:15 in the afternoon yesterday. Her name is Isabel Joy, and she
beautiful.
Truly is. She bears her name well. So, yes, and everything went very, very well. I know there were a
wonderful.
Lot of people praying.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, not that we expected anything to go wrong, but, you know, you just pray. In a situation
yeah.
like that, you pray because... You know, the human body does all kinds of interesting things sometimes. But and the most
sure.
interesting is the miracle of a brand new baby. So, yes, we have baby news.
Wonderful. Congratulations, Marge.
Thank you for
joining us. I'm so glad you're able to come back on the show. So prayer is a lot like riding a bike. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, it depends on who's riding the bike.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's me, it gets pretty interesting. I wrote this because the connection was so clear for me. And here's the thing, is for years, I mean, I tried to count how many years when I wrote that post. I really don't know how long I had this bike. It was this old 10 mm-hmm. speed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little person. You know, if somebody would see me and, you know, when I give speaking engagements and things, you know, I barely top the podium.
You know? Right,
and
right.
And so I've got this big 10-speed, but I kept riding the thing because for stubbornness, it had mm-hmm. sentimental value to me. And I kept going and years and years and, you know, and, you know, there's always something more important. So there was always something more important to get for the kids or
right.
one of the other. You know how it is with parenting. It's you always put yourself last. And so
mm-hmm.
I ended up to the point where I just kind of gave up on the thing. It was so big and so clunky. And what happened in a nutshell was that my husband ran across this really nifty, new, at least new to me, bike that was in mint condition, bought it. And I started riding again, but it was a little awkward at first and took me a while. People were like, oh, don't worry about it. You just get down and go. Well, that wasn't quite the... that wasn't quite
right.
my situation, much to my neighbor's delight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a little... I didn't get hurt, but, boy, it was pretty interesting those first few minutes. We went very slowly around the neighborhood, my husband and I. I'm like, don't go so fast. I'm going to fall. But the point... The point being, in terms of prayer, it reminded me of our prayer life. You know, mm-hmm. me especially, I need to talk in the first person because I'm definitely not above anybody else. But, you know, I cling to these old devotions and these old routines and these things that don't necessarily fit me or work for me and mm. or maybe are too heavy for me, you know, too ambitious, just like that 10-speed. And so, you know, you kind of give up or you keep going along and you're somehow making progress, but it's not real progress and you're not really soaring along, you know,
right.
as you'd like. And so that's the difference because what happens when I evaluate and go, wow, why is this not working for me? Okay, it's this and it's that. And you kind of pinpoint it and choose a new bike, so to speak.
Hmm.
Choose a new,
mm-hmm.
change things up a little bit. Try something new. And it might feel awkward at first, like that new bike felt for me. But then,
right.
you know, after a few blocks, it's like, oh my goodness, why did I wait so long to make this change? This is really something else.
I'm really glad you're saying this because I've struggled with this throughout my life. There are certain devotions or certain prayers that I feel I should be praying, even if they don't really work for me. And, you know, one that comes to mind, it's a great one that in my case has been the Liturgy of the Hours. I have prayed the Liturgy of the Hours on and off for many years, and it's the official prayer of the church. It's a great prayer, but it doesn't always work depending on what's going on in my life. I've been changing it on and off, and I keep coming back to it, but there are times that it doesn't work for me, and then I'll switch for a little while, and then I get back to it. I think it's good to evaluate the prayers that we're praying and say, do these prayers work for me, or am I doing it because somebody else is doing it, and I feel I should do it this way?
Exactly, and that's exactly the point of my post. I think a lot of us do this. I do it, you know. Oh yeah, oh, man, you know, I really should do this kind of devotion.
Yeah.
Somebody suggests something to you, so you feel kind of obligated because you know they're going to come and ask you about it.
Right.
I get a lot
right.
of that. I get a lot of cards and things, and I do so love learning about various devotions, but they don't all work for me. And you know, I think Gary, the what God really wants from us is. He doesn't really, oh boy, I want to say this just right so I don't mislead people, but I personally don't think he necessarily cares which devotions we use. You know, that's less important to him than what's truly in our hearts, what grows from us, so to speak, when we pray whatever devotions it is that mm-hmm. we're praying. He's looking for the connection, not
yeah.
the kind of phone we're using. Now we just switched analogies entirely, but still, you know, I'm going to get back to the bike. But you know, the idea is that he wants us to soar along. You know,
right.
somehow he wants us to cover those miles and to be able to do it with him and in getting closer to him. Regardless of it, whether it's a 10-speed or a mountain bike or a hybrid, you know, that's not what matters, I think.
That's a very good point.
It's how you get there. Or, I mean, when, you know, how you get there. Now I kind of undid what I did. But what I mean is inside, how you get there inside.
I agree with you 100% because what can happen is that there could be a prayer you're not comfortable with or something, you're just going, and you can end up just going through the motions and not praying from your heart, and you lose that connection because you're just saying what could be meaningless words depending on your frame of mind. It was interesting, Marge, we had Father Paul Scalia on the program yesterday, and he talked about, he wrote a very interesting book about different doctrinal beliefs of the church, and in his chapter on prayer, he talked about the point that when we say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know how to pray, teach me to pray, that's prayer, right? So it's that communication.
Yeah.
That's asking
yeah.
the Lord for, all right, Lord, help me. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say to you. Well, that in and of itself is a prayer.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. Marge, I can't believe it. I'm hearing my music. What a great conversation. We are out of time. I'm really sorry to cut you off. Marge Fenelon, thank you so much for joining us.
You are very welcome.
All right, MargeFenelon.com. Check her out online. Kate Wicker, when we come back. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Police have arrested two more people and are searching a news site in Manchester suspected of links to the bombing that killed 22 people at a pop concert earlier this week. British authorities are also complaining bitterly about investigation leaks by U.S. officials. NATO's chief has affirmed that the alliance will join the international coalition fighting the Islamic State, but will not wage war against the extremists as President Donald Trump prepares to meet allied leaders. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says that joining, quote, will send a strong political message of NATO's commitment to the fight against terrorism and also improve our coordination within the coalition, end quote. NATO will also set up a counterterrorism intelligence cell to improve information sharing. And the statistics are out for the ordination class of 2017. The Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate at Georgetown released its figures yesterday. Among the findings from the survey, 82% of men ordained this year were encouraged by about four people to consider a vocation to the priesthood. On average, they first considered their vocation at 16 years old. The average age of this class is 34 years old, and 43% completed college before entering seminary. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit of God, and make within us your dwelling place and home. May our darkness be dispelled by your light, and our troubles calmed by your peace. May all evils be redeemed by your love, all pain transformed through the suffering of Christ, and all dying glorified by his risen life. Amen.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Some people ask questions like, why aren't my prayers answered, or how can I pray better? It would take books to answer each question fully, but here are a few thoughts on prayer. First, prayer builds on human weakness. God reminds us how much we need him. As a recovering alcoholic once wrote, not until I turned my will and life over to God's care did things change for me. Next, prayer promotes self-respect. There is something wrong with your prayer if you concentrate on your faults. Self-confidence comes when you believe that God really does love you for yourself. And finally, prayer is patient with God. You can't plant an acorn one day and expect to sit in the oak tree's shade the next. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. The time is 7:35. That was Jason Gray with Sparrows. Don't think that the Lord doesn't know what you're going through. He's got it. Relax. So many times we get bent out of shape. We worry. We think, I'm all alone. The Lord doesn't get what I'm going through. He does. He cares about the sparrows, and he cares about you. I love that song. That just gets me going. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast. You're going to need something to get you going today for the greater Philadelphia area. 56 degrees at the moment. Rain before 7 a.m., then showers. Well, of course, it's after 7 a.m., so now we have showers. Hey, Dave Parker, we've switched over from rain into showers. Yes. Not sure the difference there, but it's a lot of water coming out of the sky.
You could have fooled me. Have a, yeah, where we are in Doylestown.
That's right. Yes, I'm in Virginia right now. Actually, it's not raining here at the moment. We had some rain yesterday, but we're going to have a high near 72 today. Showers likely tonight and possibly a thunderstorm. We're going to have a low around 60 Friday. A slight chance of showers, then mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Mm-hmm. We're joined now by Kate Wicker. You can find her online at katewicker.com. She's the author. She's a speaker. She's an author. She has written a book called Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood. It's a Catholic mom book published by Ave Maria Press, and today we're going to talk about something that I think you may find very interesting, perfectionism, which is the supermom's kryptonite. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. It's my 15th wedding anniversary today. So.
Well, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thanks for taking time out to be with us.
Sure.
On the program. Hey, Kate, I have to tell you, I've been on the road for the past couple of weeks, so I haven't gotten the chance to watch your appearance on At Home with Jim and Joy on EWTN TV, but my wife, Eileen, said you were fantastic. So,
thank you so much. Well,
you really helped her with your message.
Well, good. And talking about perfectionism is a good segue because everyone says, oh, have you watched it? Because it's up on YouTube now. And I said, nope, and I'm not going to.
Wow.
It's just one of those things. I have actually an uncle who's an actor, and he said he hasn't watched his television appearances either. Mm-hmm. So it must run in the family because I just know I would be sort of hypercritical.
Right.
And I just put it out there. Jesus will do what he needs to within the Holy Spirit. So, I pray that it does bless some people, but I don't think I'm going to... My daughter watched it. My oldest daughter watched it. She said, don't you want to watch it? Don't you? I would watch mine all the time.
Wow. And I'm sure you did. I get what you're saying. I'm sure you helped many people. Kate, let's talk a little bit about perfectionism. It's not the same. It's not the same as striving for excellence, is it?
No, I think that's a really important distinction. You know, sometimes I joke that my next book will be Getting Past Mediocrity, but I'm just kidding because I'm not telling people that they shouldn't strive to be the best they can be. But
right.
Perfectionism, I read Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection, which is a secular book, but has a really good message that certainly is, I think, rooted in biblical truth and the wisdom of the Catholic Church. And it's funny because not one friend but three friends sent me that book, if it tells you anything about me. But anyway, so she really talks about how perfectionism is other-focused.
Huh.
And it's what will people think of me? And, you know, how I think it encourages comparing, too. Perfectionism, at its root, is prideful and it's vanity. It's wanting others to see you as this perhaps uber-Catholic mom who has it all. A big breaking point for me, realizing that I was really still grappling with perfectionism, is I was juggling homeschooling and really, really struggling with some personal things. And my husband's work schedule was crazy and he couldn't help. And we had the resources to send our kids to parochial school. And my husband said, why aren't we doing this? And I said, because I have to do this. This is what Catholic moms do. And he kind of looked at me like, why do you have to do this? And there's different ways to dole out love, and homeschooling is a beautiful gift. I was just talking to one of my friends who homeschools yesterday for a lot of moms. But if you're doing it just to look uber cool and then you're yelling at your kids all day and you feel no joy in motherhood, then maybe it's time to reassess. God is calling each of us to different things. I wasn't able when I was homeschooling and designing my own curriculum and being a total control freak over my kids' education, I wasn't able to do some other ministries that now I do feel like the Spirit has given me a gift for encouragement, and that I need to not just encourage these little people in my home, but I need to look outward. And so that perfectionism, though, was that wanting to be perceived as this super mom, mm-hmm. Really, really was difficult for me. And I think a lot of times, moms now, because there is this whole social media movement, which can be a blessing. Like, I had someone after a recent speaking engagement come up to me, and she said, I felt like I had to do every great liturgical craft that you see on Instagram or Pinterest.
Oh my gosh.
And she said, thanks to you, I'm not doing the Jesse tree next year.
I love that. I'm so glad you're saying that, because my wife struggles with the same thing. I mean, and everybody's life is perfect, and every other woman out there has time to do all these things, and yet, you know, we're struggling to get through one day at a time.
Well, and my mom says, we never did the Jesse tree, and you know and love Jesus. And, you know,
right.
So, I mean, I think it's just become, because you see all these great ideas out there, and mothers, we do have this natural, you know, it's our feminine genius, this natural desire to people please and to nurture mm-hmm. others. But we can't let that run away with ourselves and run away with our life and rob us of our sanity and make us, you know, this, I mean, perfectionism, I joke about it a lot, but it can be crippling.
Yes.
It can really, really crush you and make you just feel worthless. And God did not design us to feel worthless. We are beloved, and we are beloved daughters, and he wants us to have that joy in mothering. And if we're constantly trying to do everything and do it perfectly, we're gonna really set ourselves up for failure. And another thing that really helped me is the scripture verse, perfect love casts out all fear. For the longest time, I thought that meant that I had to be the one doling out perfect love. And now I've come to realize that I have to focus on God, who is perfect love. And that's what's going to cast out fear. It's not that I'm not going to stumble sometimes, but as soon as I stumble, say, you know what, I'm sorry, God, I'm turning back to you. And to take the focus off me and put it more on him. And I think that's a real cure for perfectionism, and that he created us to be human, not superhumans, but humans who depend upon his supernatural grace. And we need that grace, and we have our weaknesses so we can turn to him.
Yeah, and that's what he wants. He wants us to depend on him. Kate, I want to share something from your book and get your comments on it, because this, I was reading this last night, and it is so profound. I mean, there's so many great, profound statements in this book, and I highly recommend Getting Past Perfect by Kate Wicker. But I just want to get your comments on this. You say this: truth is, very few of us will ever pass the perfect parent test. God is the only perfect parent there is, and let's take a look at his children. You and imperfect me, all his offspring, who have questioned him, those who crucify his only son, and then all those who have committed abhorrent acts of genocide, bride burning, and other horrifying crimes of hate. That is an amazing statement right there.
Well, it was fairly recently before writing the book where I had that sort of revelation, because I see all these parents striving to be perfect parents to their children and always feeling like they come up short. And I thought, wait, okay, so we are always taught that God is the perfect parent. And like you just read, I started thinking about all of his children and how we don't say, well, because of all these horrible children, God is horrible. You know, we don't make that jump. So why are we making that jump for ourselves and letting... I've told people the most freeing thing you can do is to say, I love my children, but you know what? I'm going to fail. And just accept that sometimes you're going to fail. And sometimes it'll be in the little things, like you'll just lose your patience in a day. Sometimes it might be in the big things, but that doesn't mean that it's all your fault. I interviewed a lot of moms for this book, and a lot of moms who are past the season I'm in had, you know, they poured everything into their children, tried to pass the baton of faith to them, and their children had left the church. And these parents said it was very, very difficult for them. And I thought about it a lot. And I thought, well, you know what? God's story, if it doesn't have a happy ending, maybe it's not over yet. And we can't ever give up on our children, but sometimes right. we do have to give them up to God. And I think that's another freeing thing to say, I did everything I could. I did the best I could. And now it's time to just trust and love them and not, you know, be encloaked in this anxiety that things aren't going to turn out the way I want, because we don't right. know what's going to happen. And I talk about St. Monica in the book, you know, how she's just such a shining example for that.
Sure.
Her perseverance in prayer.
Definitely, definitely. What a great message. I mean, thank you for sharing this message. It's so powerful, and it's one that needs to be heard. Kate Wicker, Getting Past Perfect. You can find her online at katewicker.com. Kate, thanks again, and happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you. We look forward to having Kate on again with us. When we come back, it's going to be time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. If you're a little anxious, you're a little nervous about what's going on in your life, or you're afraid about the future, maybe something you did in the past is upsetting you, relax, because you're going to get a message direct from the Lord through His sacred scripture. Be Not Afraid Bible verse coming up soon. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Cervo. In John 16:12, Jesus told his disciples that he had much more to tell them than they could bear, but that the Holy Spirit would later guide them to all truth. He will not speak on his own, he said, but will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. When Jesus said that he had much more to tell, his words ring through the centuries. It is the Spirit of truth that guides His church still. When He ascended to heaven, He left a small group of followers. Today, that same Catholic Church covers most of the world. It is the presence of the Spirit that has kept the church consistent and one in its teaching, regardless of the upheavals of each generation. Through the teaching authority of the church, He still has much more to tell us. How willing are we to listen? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
To me.
Wow, that is amazing. Amazing. Every time I hear that song, it blows me away. That's Carrie Underwood accompanied by Vince Gill live at the Grand Ole Opry. How great thou art. Man, I can't imagine what it's like to sing like she can sing. And here's what I find amazing about that song, too. Vince Gill is a very accomplished singer, guitarist. That's him doing the guitar solo. He was a lead singer in Pure Prairie League before he went solo. But, man, she just blows him away. It's like he's not even there. Amazing, amazing job. Carrie Underwood, How Great Thou Art. I'm Gary Zemeck. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Your time right now is 7:53. Time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, and each day I read one of these verses from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. I love this verse because, and I picked these out in advance, this ties in so nicely to what our last guest, Kate Wicker, just had to say. It comes from Psalm 55:23. Cast your care upon the Lord, who will give you support. He will never allow the righteous to stumble. In other words, don't try to do it all by yourself. Ask the Lord for help. Say, Lord, help me. I can't do this. I can't make it through the day. I can't make it through the day without losing my temper with my children. I can't make it through the day without getting mad at my coworkers. I can't make it through the day without getting frustrated with Dave Parker, my co-host, whatever it is.
I knew you were going to throw me in there, buddy.
You knew it was coming. You know me
back at you.
Know me too well. But right, Dave, and
that's right,
Frank,
yeah.
I don't know if you're there as well, but the Lord wants us to ask for help. He doesn't want us to do everything by ourselves.
Absolutely.
That's why we get so frustrated, because we don't ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, I can handle this, and then we can't, and then we always are digging ourselves back up, or pulling ourselves back up, you know, say, Lord, I really do need you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't mean we don't do anything. He wants us to do the best we can, but for some of us, and I know you guys are thinking of Gary Zemeck right now, my best isn't very good. I can't do that much on my own. You know? See, I know the way you guys think.
Frank, come on, get off the floor. He's rolling with laughter. Come on.
You know, I mean, I'm lobbing you guys softballs here so you can nail me.
Yeah, no. Well, thanks, man. Keep going.
All right.
Okay.
But seriously, we all struggle. And I think as somebody who has always struggled with anxiety, the reason I become anxious is because I try to do it all by myself. And I forget that if I'm worried about something, even if I don't think it's important, if it's important to me, it's important to Jesus. We just have to say, Jesus, please help me. I'm worried. I know this thing is dumb. It's not that important in the big picture. But whatever it is, I'm worried about it. Jesus, can you help me out?
Yeah.
You know,
Gear, I was going to say,
through.
You know, we are, you know, we are gifted with certain, you know, intelligences, I say, and intellect. Yeah. And we want to do well. We are trained in certain things and using our gifts, and we do want to do well. But like Kate said, you know, I mean, if we over try being the perfectionist,
right?
You know, and it often backfires, and we beat ourselves up. But I mean, it's a balancing act.
It is.
Try always to ask God and the good Lord to help us in everything we do.
You know? And if we fail, it's okay because we're imperfect, and that's the thing. We do fail sometimes.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. go ahead, Gary.
I know what Frank's thinking. Frank's thinking, yeah, every day. I'm spending. Wait a minute. You know, there's something's wrong here. I'm spending most of this program insulting myself. I don't get this.
Oh, I was thinking I fail every day. What are you talking about?
But we really, you know, in all seriousness, we really do, and that's the thing. Don't beat yourself up because this is a very real problem. Don't beat yourself up. Just continue to ask the Lord for help and go out there and do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's what He expects.
Absolutely.
Of us. Hey, guys, before we close, I wanted to point out, mention a couple of our live remotes that are coming up. June 1st, Frank, is that date correct? We're
going to
be at
correct.
Archbishop Wood.
I was
Archbishop Wood High School.
Talking to them yesterday, they called me, so yes.
Great.
June 1st, looking forward to it.
Your alma mater.
That is correct.
Excellent. That's going to be June the 1st, and then Sunday, June 11th, we'll be at the Malvern Retreat House for the Family Festival with our friend Marty Rotella.
Looking forward to seeing Marty again.
Me too.
That's going to be great. And Dave Parker, they're going to have refreshments there, hot dogs, hamburgers, popcorn, water ice, and Philly pretzels.
All right.
So,
thank you. Beautiful.
That's right. That's right. We have to resurrect that one of these days, how to speak Philadelphian, when we tried to teach you to speak Philadelphian,
really?
Dave.
I'm still practicing.
And then another appearance that's going to be coming up is the Tradition Conference on June the 19th. Sponsored by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, a celebration of 25 years of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Archbishop Charles Shepu, Jeff Cavins, Scott Hahn, Mother Assumpta Long, Matthew Bunsen, and more. Man, what great speakers.
That's going to be such an incredible event.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I mean, so if you want to find out more about that event, you want to go to phillyocf.org, phillyocf.org, to get your tickets for that. We will be there broadcasting live, but if you want to hear the talks by the many speakers there, we're not going to be broadcasting those live, so you've got to go there in person at the Philadelphia Sheraton Downtown Hotel, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. It's going to be a jam-packed day.
And you'll have an opportunity to meet us.
Absolutely.
Frank,
oh, wait, that might cost.
We want to get.
I was going to say, Archbishop Wood, batten down the hatches. Frank's coming back. Come on.
He's coming back.
All right, here we go.
Oh, man. Hey, we're just about out of time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like being prepared. Thanks for the countdown, Dave.
All right.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever you go today, remember the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.